Mr. Walker, will you tell me the circumstances surrounding your joining the Cardinals in 1942?
Well, in 1942, I was with the Columbus Ball Club in Columbus, Ohio, and in 1940 and 41, and then in 1942, I stayed with them all year, and that year we won the pennant and went on to beat the Yankees in 1942.
Mm-hmm. What month did you join the ball club? Or were you with them all year?
I was with them all year. I was with them in spring training, stayed with them. I was there part of 41 and part of 40, and then I went to spring training in 42 and stayed with them all of 1942 and 43. And after the World Series of 1943 at Jefferson Barracks, the next morning after the World Series, I've inducted in the Army.
I see. Do you have any... In 1942, the Cardinals came from behind in the stretch. I believe they won 106 games to the Dodgers 104. And there was a lot of talk about brushbacks that season, especially with Leo Durocher and the Dodgers. Do you have any comments to make about that season?
No, it was just an exciting ball club and one of the best clubs I've ever played on. Of course, we had a lot of speed. There wasn't one individual star that was just that fellow that hit 40, 50 home runs. The man that led our club, I think, was Eno Slaughter with 17. But we had Stan Musial, Terry Moore, and Slaughter, and I was more or less a backup man in the outfield as a fourth outfielder. I played in about 75 games that year.
I see. Do you have any special memories about the 1942 series when you knocked off the Yankees in five games?
Well, the biggest thing was they were a dominating organization. It was really the odds were they'd take us right away, and they beat us the first game. Then after that, we won the next game in St. Louis and then went to New York and won three in a row. So we beat them four in a row, four out of five. And, of course, that was an exciting thing for me because I got more money of the World Series than I made for my salary.
Whitey Karaski, when I interviewed him, said that you used to congregate on the train and talk baseball. In fact, the way he said it was you ate, slept, and drank baseball, and you didn't have enough money to gamble. So I guess that you're backing his statement up.
Well, this is true. In our ball club, most of the guys were making $3,000 to $5,000. Musial was making five, and the highest paid man was Terry Moore, who was 12. And, of course, it was really a hungry ball club, but everybody enjoyed it, and we had a wonderful time.
Fine. Do you have any special memories about the 1943 season? Of course, you ran away with the pennant again, but this time the Yankees turned the tables. Did anything unusual happen to you that season? Anything that stands out in your mind?
Well, no. It was just a good year for our ball club. I was lucky enough to lead the league that year and consecutive games hit. I had 29 that year when the record was 32 at that time. Hmm. But we just had a good, solid ball club. And then the World Series, after winning it by about 16 ball games, we just couldn't get started again. Sometimes you lose your momentum. And the Yankees came in and did exactly what we had done the year before.
You said the day after the 1943 World Series, you went in the Army. While you were in the Army, did you travel at all? Did you go overseas?
Well, in the Army, I took my basic training in Fort Riley, Kansas, where I came up with spinal meningitis. But before spring training started, I was out of the hospital. During my training, I played some ball. And then in the fall, we were shipped overseas with the 3rd Army. And I was with a young outfit that only went, I guess we were in combat a little over 2 months. And I was in a recon outfit with the 65th Division. And then when the war was over, after we had gotten through, well, then I managed the ball club in Europe while we were there with our division, and then played some with an all-star team that we had touring Europe back in Nuremberg and in France and Italy. This was after about 2 or 3 months after the war was over. I know when I was there, the general asked me to manage the club, and I really didn't want to do it because I was satisfied to go ahead and do what I was doing because it was a lot better that way, I thought, than this going ahead. But it was a godsend because it kept us all in shape, and we managed the club. He said he had 15,000 men that needed entertainment, and baseball could do it in the summertime better than anything he had. So we wound up with a good ball club and was able to do a good job. And while we were there, of course, the fellow that is now announcing with the New York Mets, I didn't realize that for a good many years later, that he was a guy that was broadcasting our ball games in Linz, Austria, with the 65th Division. What is the commentator in here?
Lindsey Nelson.
Lindsey Nelson was our announcer, and I didn't even know it until he got back here. But we had Al Bravel and Rex Barney and Kenny Heinzelman and George Sarayan and George Archie, six boys in the major leagues that They were together, and while before we went over a captain, most of them didn't want the ball players because they were felt like they didn't want to bother with athletes in it, but this guy had been a football player, and he said, if you'll give them to me, I'll make soldiers out of them. So he put us in the outfit, and we were overseas and was in the front lines for about 2 months.
And this was in Europe?
Work. In Europe, where we went in through France, Germany, Austria, and wound up in Linz, Austria.
All right, thank you. One more question, and that is, it's often been said that many characters were in the major leagues during the war, men who wouldn't have been there if there hadn't been a wartime emergency. Do any stand out in your mind, any particular players?
I don't know of any because I wasn't there. The 2 years that I was away was 44 and 45, and I come back in 46 to play with the Cardinals the year we won the pennant in the World Series. So I really don't know what went on when I was gone. I didn't know anybody that was playing other than a brother of mine, and so I did not get involved during the war days. I was not here.
So what you're saying is that basically in 1943, enough of the cream of the crop was still around so that you didn't notice any particular difference.
Well, at that time, they were beginning to take the players. Musil was still there, and Kurovskis and fellows like that, and we still had good ball club, but by 1944 and 45, it began to slip back a little bit. They still had some good ball players in those days, but I think it went back a good bit, pitching probably as much as anything, but it didn't take long to get back to normal.
Right, one last question, and that is, and I've always wondered about this as an individual, why certain ball players went in before others. Of course, there were some who volunteered, but was it mostly just the luck of the draw in the draft?
Well, very much so,
and
age and marriage. In my case, I was married and had a child, where the other fellows were not married, were drafted sooner, and some people that were married, they didn't have children. It had gone. It's sort of a deal like that, and I was called up in the middle of the year in 43 and was drafted in, went in for the final draft to go into the Army on the day after the World Series in 1943.
Fine.